The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good Thursday morning, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station, the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, with yours truly, Neville James. It is a partly cloudy, kind of overcast day here in Paradise, and got a great show lineup. We can nourish the flourish. You should be hearing from the chef and Holly Louise in a little bit. And then we got Calvert White, the commissioner of Sports Park and Recreation, joining us in our number two. That agency is vested with I didn't know that we were doing that. That's why I apologize. They're vested with a carnival staple coming back into the fold next week. So we're going to talk a little bit about that Friday afternoon, that May 3rd thing called Carnival Races. And that's going to take place for the first time in a long time over there at the Clinton Phipps Racetrack in the Buffoni area over there on St. Thomas. So, you know, yesterday we had the governor on. And the governor was very outspoken about his current run-ins with the first branch of government, the legislature. And we got, you know, some high visibility. You know, we were live streaming and all that stuff. I think we're doing it again right now. And, you know, when the governor's on, a lot of people are listening and all that stuff. And the reviews are what they are. And we're going to get to that at some point. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, the relationship with the 35th legislature and the governor plays out from this point on. Because as I stated yesterday in the conversation with the governor, that with him having no more contract calls and them having one this year, it would be in the best interest of everybody, you know, to be productive. But it looks like some lines have been crossed. We'll see how that pans out. It got even worse yesterday afternoon or later yesterday morning. And time will tell where we go from here. Plus I'll also talk about some of the criticism of the moderator. Because I enjoy that. Enjoy responding to it as well. Anyway, I believe we have our Nourish to Flourish family here. We got Holly Louise, or just one. Holly Louise is on the line. Good morning, Ms. Gorov. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's the weather?
I mean, it's a beautiful day. It's a little on the cool end. It's 55, but we're warming up.
65 is good weather, Holly. Come on now.
55. I believe it was a 5.
Oh, 5-5. 5-5. Okay, yeah, yeah. That can get a little nippy if you're not ready for it.
Yeah. How about, what's the weather there?
Low 80s. Nice, partly cloudy. Perfect.
Oh, my word. That sounds lovely.
Oh, gosh. Hey, look, I was on Twitter, and one of the folks on the timeline, they were asking about restaurants in the village. What was the name of the restaurant you said you couldn't wait to get to when you head up to New York? To get that
Mamoun.
Mamoun. What was the featured delicacy we're talking about? You couldn't wait to get one?
I mean, it's just their falafel is just so good.
That's right. That's right.
You know, yeah. It's messy and it's beautiful and it's all the yummy things. And they don't have space for you. You have to, like, get, you know, you get in and you have to really, I think they have one table and it's really up to you to figure out how you're going to, like, now eat that.
Messy and beautiful, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, when last you been to the city?
So where did you go? Where did you eat?
I'm a straight up guy. I go to restaurants that we don't have here. So, you know, Olive Garden and places like that are very, very attractive on my radar when I get up there. When I get that bread. Sometimes it affects the main course because the bread tastes so good.
It sure does. All you can eat bread. Don't they have that? All you can eat bread.
Yeah. We got that. Well, down here, no, not that I know of. You know, we're not into that. You know, yeah, we don't have that kind of volume. So, you know, but when I get up there.
Well, no, but I mean, like when in New York when you go, right?
Oh yeah. And P.F. Chang's.
Yeah.
P.F. Chang's. I love a P.F. Chang's.
Do you really?
Oh my gosh, yes.
What's your order?
Pepper steak. You know what I'm saying? I get the pepper steak and I'm a rice type of guy. You know what I'm saying? If I can get some good rice, then I'm good to go. You know, so
yeah.
I enjoy eating that. But now I'm eating in moderation. You know, as soon as I order, you know, I need my box to go. Because I can't.
I think that's a smart idea. I don't do it, but I do think it's a smart idea.
No, as soon as I make my order, yeah, let me get that box to go because there's something about having leftovers. You know, we had this negative connotation, the negative belief about leftovers.
No, I do not.
When we're young,
and as we've
gotten older, we come to realize food sitting and marinating on its own. It actually tastes better than when you first start to dig in. So
in many ways, yeah.
That's seasoning. When that seasoning starts to go to work, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's true.
Yeah, and then you microwave it. Ooh, because you know.
I did that the other day.
Tell us about that.
Sorry, I mean interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Well, you know, I cook in volume, and then I'll freeze a bunch of things. And recently I just said to myself, listen, I have to start eating through my freezer. Like, I keep freezing things and never eat them. So, you know, I pulled out this, I made like a turkey bolognese and, it was delicious. And I didn't label it well. So I'm like, this looks good. I don't know what it is. I'm like, oh, this is turkey bolognese that I made. And, it was just so good. Like, it froze well. And I think, just like you said, like, just the marinating, that extra time that it had to, like, you know, especially when it was warming to freeze, you know, it sat for probably a day, and then I froze it, and then it was just lovely, and I had so many meals off of it.
No, I'm telling you, man, leftovers, you know, one of my listeners just said, PFC pepper steak is my favorite too, so I'm not alone. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
so that's good. So check this out. We found out last week that styrofoams aren't good. You're better off getting your leftovers in boxes. Styrofoams, because there's potentially some carcinogens. There when you're reheating food in styrofoams. Did you know about that? Have you heard about that?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I never heat up anything in styrofoam. I don't like using styrofoam at all.
Okay. Yeah, because Monday was Earth Day, and they were talking about plastics and styrofoams and all that stuff. That we had an initiative over on St. John, and a webinar and all that stuff. So, you know, you learn as you go. You know what I'm saying? Everything's going to take some time. Styrofoams have done me well to this point when I wasn't knowledgeable about the negative potential. So now we got to figure out how to make that adjustment.
Yeah, because it's terrible for the environment because it doesn't biodegrade, right?
Yeah. So you live on your learn. So, back to the city. You grew up in Queens or Manhattan?
Manhattan.
Uptown, midtown, downtown, village?
Times Square. Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen. Ooh. Wow. 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 I spent, I've been going to New York for years. And last year was the first time I actually stayed in a Manhattan hotel in about 20 years. Because typically, typically I stay in Jersey. It's more cost efficient and all that stuff. And I rent a car. Yo, check this out, right? Check this out. I loved staying I stayed in Times Square. I stayed at the Marriott Marquis.
Okay.
Right,
I said the Marquis. Marriott. Okay.
Yeah, I said the Marriott Marquis. Right, but I had to set it up. I had to set it up right because I was flying out of LaGuardia to come back home, and I had to set it up that I had to drop off my rental car, and then get into the city because overnight costs for valet, right, $95, $100 in New York City, just to park it overnight. That's like a day's rental. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Yeah, so I rented my car in Newark, dropped back off the car at Newark and National Airport, took a bus into the city for about $20. That's a nice drive from Newark, going up the turnpike.
I always fly into Newark.
I learned that like 30 years ago. You take the bus. There's a shuttle from Newark into downtown. Get to Port Authority. Get to Port Authority. There you go. You know what I'm saying? See, you know, thank you for validating my move. You know what I'm saying? And then walked up to Marriott. Nice area. Then I went to a restaurant a couple blocks up. I was actually going to a Latin restaurant, but they were closed. Victor's up there on 50th Street. So I went to an Irish restaurant right next door. They had some good food as well. Of course, you know, I took something back. Yeah. Took something back to the room. You know, you gotta do that. You know what I'm saying? So, but
why not? It's true.
Yeah, yeah. But I one thing you're never short on our restaurants, in particular in Midtown and Times Square. Loaded.
I mean, like anything else, I feel like you have the touristy ones sort of like in the actual heart of Times Square. And then just like any other city, if you go to the outskirts a little bit, I mean, it's just one restaurant after another. But you get some different, like, you know, more unique one-off. You know, like my favorite Thai restaurant, every time I go home, it's a non-negotiable. I have to order from there. It's called Viv. VIV.
Yeah. Okay.
And my nickname for it is crack Thai, because it's like when you eat it, you just don't want to stop eating it. It's just so good. And their flavors are on point, no matter what you order. And the ambiance of the place, if you actually go there, is super fun.
Yeah, I'd stay in Jersey, and then, I'm driving through the city to head out on an island, right? To head out to Queens, Nassau, that area, right? And I'd come across on 34th Street a lot. I don't do it anymore now because, you know, I didn't, 34th Street is really a main, it's actually an interstate. It's actually the 495, right? But the Broadway comes across Lower Manhattan, and it intersects with 34th Street on 6th Avenue. Avenue of the Americas, right? And there was a restaurant. Yeah. There was a restaurant there by the name of Needix. I used to see that in the corner all the time, and I used to say to myself, "Yo, I got to check this out." But, yo, they shut it down before I got the chance to do that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, looked like a nice hot dog joint, like a nice hot dog joint, because, you know, hot dogs in New York City are like bacon and eggs, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but you got to go to Grace Papaya for that one.
Hold on a second. What's that? I got to go to where?
Grace Papaya.
Okay, write that one down. Right?
Good. It's on 72nd and Broadway.
72nd and Broadway.
Maybe 73rd. 72nd, 73rd and Broadway.
So 73rd.
It's on the corner. It's famous.
Yeah.
You walk in like for their dollar hot dogs, but it's like, you know, right off the grill and all the things.
The first time I went to Yankee Stadium in 1978, prior to that, right? I know the public's gonna like this one. We order a hot dog and it's a hot dog with mustard. Ain't got no ketchup. You know what I'm saying? Just mustard, right? So I'm 14 and I've always, you know, eaten my hot dogs with ketchup. But in this case,
ain't got
no ketchup in Yankee Stadium. You got a packet of French's mustard, and you do what you got to do. Yeah. So you learn something. You know what I'm saying?
I got shamed for like wanting ketchup on my hot dog. They're like, "What? You do what? Oh, I don't like mustard. I do now, but I did not then, and I still don't put it on my hot dog." And I felt that, I'm like, why are you shaming me? Just let me put the condiment I would like to put on my hot dog on my condiment. Leave me alone.
No, they're not having that. Okay, so I found Gray's Papaya, 72nd Street in New York, and Broadway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that. So I gotta figure out how I'm gonna make that happen. I even one of my listeners just sent me the website. I got the best audience. Just when I found it. They said,
that, I love that.
Yeah, the GracePapaya.NYC, and they said best ever. Wow. Yeah, I got the nice audience. And, you know, since we're talking junk food in this segment, the last thing I want to talk about is I truly learned how to eat a slice of pizza when I went to New York City back in 78, that same time. Right? If you ain't folding it, that's. you're really a New Yorker. But it's actually a two part deal. When you fold it and when you bite, if there isn't any drippings on the side, you ain't really eating a New York slice of pizza.
I know.
That sauce.
That's true.
That sauce running down the side of your mouth. That's the deal. That's when you know you got real New York slice.
You got the real. That's right. That's right. And it was funny because a friend of mine reached out and he is taking. His children, he's having like he's taking each of his children on one-on-one trips, you know, father-son and a father-daughter trip. And his daughter chose New York City. And, you know, he was like, do you have any recommendations, whatever. So I'm giving him all these recommendations. And, I can't remember if I said, you know, recommended Grimaldi's. For pizza, which is kind of, you know, it's good pizza. It's not, it's very good pizza. You know, it's famous pizza there. But I said in my text, just to your point, in my message to him, I was like, you know, you can go to the, but really just get a slice anywhere. You gotta fold it when you eat it. and you gotta just do that. It's important. It is important. You have to go to the city and like at least one slice of pizza. And you gotta fold it. You gotta eat it right.
Well, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, all right, good stuff. It's gotta be on like this paper.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll take a break. We'll take a break on that, right? And pick up on the junk food conversation and then work our way to healthy stuff. Be back right after this.
Okay.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Listen to the latest news stories that matter with Marcelina Ventura Douglas. Weekdays at 5 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here, Analyze This, Nourish the Flourish, and we're talking junk food. I got my good friend, my buddy from NC, originally from the city, but you know she's part of that migration down to the Middle Atlantic,
Carolina,
the Carolinas, and all that stuff. Holly Gorof, what we call her, Holly Louise, here on the show. Good morning, yeah. Holly. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. And Julia should be joining us in a little bit there as well. So, so we're talking junk food. Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
And Wednesday is May the 1st. So if I was to call you on Monday, the 29th, and say, Ms. Gorof, I want to do something for 1 month. I want to see how my body's going to respond to transitioning from eating all this junk food that we're talking about, this pizza and hot dogs and all that good stuff.
I love that you're doing the DAW.
And that lovely messy food from my moons down in the village.
Absolutely.
Right? And I wanna go on a 1 month trail of eating healthy and eating healthy just to see how my body responds, because there's no guarantee that I'm gonna stick with it. What would be your suggestion in terms of daily intake? First of all, let me give some hypothetical background here. I eat I'm not a methodical eater. I eat when I feel like it. Is that something that I should address? Right off the bat.
Wait a minute. Just let me understand that. You mean like when noon hits, you're not going out for lunch?
Not necessarily. Correct. If lunch happens at noon, it happens at noon. If it happens at one, it happens at one. Should I start getting into a routine, a daily routine, to be uniform with respect to lunch?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think if you're listening to your body and you're eating when you're hungry, that's important, you know. And honestly, when you do change your diet, your cravings do change. Sometimes it's cravings over hunger or appetite over hunger. So when you start to eat a little bit healthier, you'll notice shifts in that. So I wouldn't want you to fight that, because I would want you to sort of say, hey, you know, I don't find myself as hungry anymore. You know, sometimes when your diet is out of balance, you can find yourself craving a lot, feeling hungry, having sugar highs and lows, where you kind of feel shaky. Like, there's all kinds of things that can happen when your diet is sort of out of whack, that you're going to see those changes and allow those changes when you're doing that. So I wouldn't, that's not where I would start. In fact, I love the idea of listening to your body.
Okay, so there is no uniformity with respect to incorporating the new diet, right? That's something that we could let the public know. You're listening to your body.
Yeah, not in terms of timing, no.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, good. So, Can I, if I wanted to, incorporate some fasting in this new approach as well, or should it just should it be just a new diet with respect to watching my carbs and calories and all that stuff, or can I do a like a combination type thing to include fasting?
Yeah, you most certainly could. I mean, and we're talking like the intermittent fasting type concepts, right?
Correct.
You know, I think sometimes that's really helpful because it sets some boundaries, even if it's one of the more liberal ones where it's kind of a 12-hour deal,
mm-hmm.
or let's say like after 8 p.m., you're not going to eat anymore, because sometimes, you know, that was sort of the purpose. I mean, this kind of fallacy that your metabolism changes, like, at night. It's not that it changes, it's that you're sleeping and you're slowing. I mean, so I guess, yeah, you're not burning as many calories at night as you would, you know, during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 80s, when there was more snacky foods, they used to say, well, like, it makes you fat if you eat after 8. And it's really not that it was after 8, per se. It wasn't like the time. It was that there was a lot of TV and snacking, and like, and they were acknowledging that a lot of these kind of non-hungry eating moments were sort of the problem to the, at that time, rising obesity. So it was a public health initiative to sort of stop eating at night. So it's, you know, eat when you're hungry, to your point, you know, and watch out for the boredom eating. Right, but I'm sitting in front of the TV and we're just, you know, we're having a bowl, you know, chips or whatever. You're not even paying attention to how much you're eating.
Yeah.
You know, and all of those things, like when we're talking about a weight loss journey, I mean, we're talking the difference of 100 calories, 200 calories, 300 calories is making the difference between you seeing results and not seeing results sometimes, you know? And so doing things to make you more stable within your body and doing things that are, I wouldn't want you to get lost in the counting of calories, but because you can, but knowing that fact, that mindless eating, can often cause that, you know, contribute to that, inability to lose the weight.
Okay. Now, this word people use, it's called fads. Right, where things are in vogue for a certain time, right?
Sure, yeah.
And there was this one time where granola was I don't want to say it was a fad, but it, all of a sudden, you go to pharmacies or wherever, and the candy bars weren't as plentiful because we're starting to see a lot of granolas and all that stuff. What is it about granola that is so attractive? Oh. For those who like to munch on it and don't want to eat that sugary candy bar like they used to.
But the problem is that it's just as sugary. Granola is dangerous.
Right? Ooh.
Granola is dangerous because it, you know, it's, I mean, I get it. It's whole grain. So what's the deal? It's like they have oats and grains. So they have a very high fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good thing. But like when you start coating it in sugar and adding chocolate chips and adding this and that, it's not, you know, it could be, you know, putting a little, you know, you got to read the labels. Like at the end of the day, you're exactly right. Fads are marketing. They're going to be coming at you hot, coming in hot, right? Whatever the new fad is. So there are always, we like to keep it here, especially on this program, like we like to keep the main thing, right? So there are many ways to achieve your weight loss or health journey, right? And some of it, and we've discussed in the past, like a lot of it has to do with, you know, what is your personal schedule? What is your budget? You know, what are you comfortable with? What are your resources? Like, these are things you have to keep in mind. Like, I'm not going to be able to say to everybody, this is how you should do it. But they're principles to use, right? They're principles that you can then apply to whatever works for you. So, like, when we're talking about keeping that sugar low, I mean, just read the label. So whatever you're choosing, you want to keep fiber high is great because that's going to improve your ability to feel fuller longer. It's going to regulate how fast the carbohydrate is broken down so that it's not causing a spike in your blood sugar, which will then cause a quick drop, right? So that's where, you know, it happens with sugar, it happens with meals. So like you eat lunch and then you're exhausted at 3. Well, that's your dip, right? And then, you know, so one of the principles I would say, well, the deal with granola would be it could be high in fiber, but it also tends to be very high in sugar, you know? So I don't buy it because that's a great example of something where you think you're doing something well, and then that's putting you over the edge. It could be that thing that's putting you over the edge if you're not calculating it into what you're eating for the day, if you're not considering it. Like if you're like, oh, I'm just having a yogurt, and you looked at the yogurt and it's 130 calories, and then you're like, yeah, I just put a little granola on it because I love the little crunch. Well, it is delicious, but it's add up the sugar that you just consumed between the yogurt and the granola. It will be very high, my guess is, most likely. But then also, that could have been 200 calories that you just put on. Granola is high in calories.
No, but I'm glad that you broke that down because one of the things and by the way, the chef is in the kitchen with us right now. Good morning, Chef Julius. Glad to have you on.
Good morning, Neville. Good morning, Holly. How are you guys?
Good, man.
Good morning.
Good to hear your voice, man. All is well.
Yeah.
We were talking about fads where certain things are very popular at a particular time, and we were talking about granola. There was a time when everybody wanted a granola bar instead of eating that Babe Ruth. You know what I'm saying? Or the Almond Joy. You know what I'm saying? Baby Ruth and the Almond Joy or the Nestle's Crunch. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. So we're talking about fats. But Holly mentioned something, Julius, that I think you'd like. She said, eat regardless of what you're eating, right? Because I use granola as an example. Always read the wrap. To see what you're consuming, and you as an athlete and a trainer, that has to be big with you.
Yeah, must read the nutrition facts. You must read the ingredients, see what's in there, see what is on the top of the ingredient list, because that tells you what has the highest weight or the amount in the product.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. Some things are full of fillers and carbs and sugars. So it's good to read those things and know what you're consuming 100%.
Now the most recent, it's about 8-10 years, is smoothies, right? All of a sudden, everywhere you turn the corner, a smoothie's waiting for you. You know what I'm saying? So let me start with you on this one, Julius. What is it about smoothies that are good, and what should we be careful about with respect to smoothies?
Yeah, smoothies are a great way to get in whole foods in a way that's, you know, tasty. You can add, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, and it doesn't taste like you're eating raw vegetables, right? You had spinach, you had kale, to some blueberry and pineapple, blend that all up, and that smoothie can be delicious to intake and very nutritious for you.
Mm-hmm.
An issue that can arise with smoothies is, of course, the sugar levels. Sometimes we want to make smoothies really sweet, or we want to use not whole foods. We want to use a juice or a mix or a syrup rather than using the whole foods. And so smoothies can become dangerous when it comes to sugar levels. But I really do love smoothies. They're a great way to pack in a bunch of things that you don't have to taste it strongly. I'd like to add a little protein powder to bump it up a little bit. And smoothies can be great, but just got to watch the sweetness levels, the sugar levels. You want to mix vegetables in there. Don't just use all fruits, because fruits are natural sugars, but you have too much of it, it can definitely add to your blood sugar levels. So, but smoothies are a great go-to, though. I love smoothies.
Now, here's this one, Holly, I think you'd like this one, and you could break this down. This lady in Utah said, during the past week, I've been forced into drinking lots of smoothies due to a recent mouth surgery and inability to chew. before the last week, I drink the occasional smoothie as a refreshing dessert. But I've never really been a huge fan of smoothies as meals because I always feel hungry again an hour later. To me, drinking my food isn't nearly as satisfying as sitting down to eat, chewing the food, and enjoying a meal. As a dietitian, break down what's her name? Paige Smathers said in this 2016 article back in the day. In other words, you know, smoothies are good for as Julia said, but there are some repercussions and ramifications with drinking a smoothie.
Yeah, well, all of what I've heard so far is true. And when I was a dietitian in the hospital, I mean, we utilize smoothies all the time to help our patients, you know, get the nutrition they needed for healing. When you're sick, when you have things going wrong, it's sometimes eating is difficult or even nauseating. For some reason, drinking is a lot easier. So allowing, you know, something that can be really rich and healthy, and like to what Julius was saying, you can hide a lot of things in a smoothie. I have put in my smoothies like turmeric. I've like broke open, turmeric powder supplement sometimes if I want that, or collagen, and I'll blend that in. In addition to some protein, like you could do multivitamins. There's a lot of things that that you can put in there that you don't taste and that your body needs. And so drinking can be, and then you make it a chocolate flavor, or you make it a peanut butter banana smoothie, and you can have lots of proteins, fibers, without having to go through the eating, all of that. It's also great on the go. So something that you can put in a cup and, you know, consume while you're driving or while you're doing something else. But so there are many pluses, but you do have to watch what you put in exactly. It should be a mixture of fruit and vegetables, and I almost always put protein in it because that's what's going to help you feel fuller longer too. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, importance to chewing and eating and enjoying your meal. So I don't think it should be the everything. I don't like smoothie diets. I also don't like anything that's going to just unrealistic for your life. Once again, like a smoothie is a great thing. If like you get into smoothies in the morning because that's become sort of something that's controllable, predictable, you've thought about it. Making something routine like that can be a helpful tool because you're not trying to reinvent the wheel every time you get up in the morning. You know, you're like, I've thought about this and I like these things in my smoothie. And if I want to vary it, I can do these things. But this is kind of where I'm at, and this has been, and I feel good and my body feels good when this happens. If you start to feel shaky, starving, it's probably too high in sugar. It's probably, you know, not enough fiber, not enough protein in it.
So the word is turmeric? That's the word?
Well, turmeric, I just sometimes I'll use that for inflammation. Mm-hmm. It's an anti-inflammatory. So, like, sometimes I would put, like, some turmeric powder.
How do you spell it? Because I want to learn. I'm learning as we go. How do you spell that?
Oh, it's T-U-M-A-R-I-C.
There we go.
And I'll make a tea with that as well. I'll get the turmeric root.
No, hold on a second. We're gonna break that down because it looks like Julius knows about that. So we'll take a break and come back and talk a little bit about that.
Oh yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
After the Civil War, Black Southerners would.
The sheriff could sell free black people to corporations and coal mines.
For 80 years, thousands of blacks were forced to labor against their will.
He said, if I don't go to work, he'll put me in the river down there.
One of America's most shameful chapters, Slavery by Another Name.
Tune in April 27th at 9:30 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here, Analyze This, Nourish to Flourish. And, you know, like I say every day on the show, you know, I'm hoping that by 10 o'clock, I'm more learned and more knowledgeable than I was when we started the show at 8 a.m. So the one and only Holly Louise out of Raleigh, and my man Julius Jackson out of St. Thomas. Good morning to you both. The Mod Squad with Nourish to Flourish is in effect, right? So so I learned the word turmeric. That's how you pronounce it, right? Turmeric?
Turmeric.
Okay. Right? So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the makeup of this. Right? And it says, and it's a plant. It originally comes from a plant, Holly? I got the right word? I got the right thing?
Yeah, it's a root.
It's a root, right?
It's a turmeric root, yep.
Turmeric root, right? 8.92% moisture, 2.85% ash, 4.60% crude fiber, and 6.85% fat. It also contains 9.40% crude protein and 67.38% carbohydrate. So Julius, since you're into carbs and all that stuff, break that down for me. How valuable turmeric, I want to make sure I pronounce this because I don't want to butcher the word anyway, butcher the pronunciation, turmeric, is with respect to what you do as a combination of chef, feeding people, and also a trainer.
Yeah, it just has so many health benefits. It's just one of those things that you should have.
I don't mean to cut you off. Right when you told me that, my doctor friend said morning, it has excellent health benefits. Just like, so it looked like you a doctor too. And she said, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, among other things. Wow. I gotta go look for this and incorporate this in my mix, man. Thank you, Holly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holly. Break this down for me, Julius. I know you into this. Big.
Call me Dr. Chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, turmeric has so many health benefits. Like you said, anti-inflammatory. So it's really good for anybody who's physically active or having certain issues with organs that are swelling, right? It brings all things down. It's in a few natural things. It's in curry. That's what helps with the color.
I read that during the break, man. Yeah, if you like curry, this is your type of thing. Wow.
Yeah, so there's sometimes used in things for mostly coloration, but we found out how much health benefits are in it, and it's really becoming more so well-known, more vast, that people are consuming turmeric in teas, in shakes, in their food. And it tastes nice. Also, I do a nice turmeric lobster for my guests.
Oh my goodness!
Why you go there at 8:45 in the morning, my man? Why are you doing this? This is torture. Wow.
So, yeah, I just I, I in unsalted butter, I add turmeric powder as well as a little bit of salt, and I rub that on the lobster. I kind of parboil the lobster in some butter, and I pan sear that with the turmeric butter.
Oh, my goodness.
And it makes like a nice yellow crust on the lobster. It's the most amazing thing. And then I just spread more turmeric butter on it.
Oh,
it's
man.
So good.
Oh, yeah, man. You can't, listeners, audience, you're getting this for free. Don't be afraid to be a little creative when you're knocking up the lobster. Now, my doctor did suggest, she did suggest, she said, important to note that this is what the naturalists will say, but there is no evidence-based proof with clinical trials. So, Holly, now, you're a dietitian. Talk a little bit about how we need to always keep in mind there are certain things, you know, that we're processing from an educational standpoint, as well as, you know, from an edible, with that great stuff that Dr. Chef just told us a little while ago. You know what I'm saying? That we need to always keep things in context.
We do. And she's right, you know, in the sense that, too. So, yeah, like, particularly in the supplement industry, which is, like, basically, you know, unregulated in many ways, you know, they have to be very careful about how they suggest things. It's true. There is not, you know, for a lot of the evidence for, you know, some of the claims of the usage of these herbal supplements, there is not a ton of evidence in some cases to show that it works. And then certainly, you know, dose response is important. Like, well, how much are you talking about? And, you know, to what level? And there are a ton of variables. But then there's also the, you know, anecdotal, like, observing, even if it's placebo. But there is evidence to show, like, certain, you know, that, like, a certain amount of turmeric and, you know, what those dose responses are, I wouldn't know at the moment. But would reduce enzymes that, you know, are used and that are causing swelling and certain things. So they have found things like that, and certain herbalists have used things for curative functions, but there isn't that evidence to support, right? So there is a discrepancy there, and you always have to worry about, or, you know, be cautious when you are mixing Eastern and Western worlds in terms of combating, you know, illness, right? So if you're on certain medications, you really want to be careful about the kind of supplementation that you're using, and because there can be negative interactions between the herbal supplements and a medication. So always be careful with that, you know, and hyperdosing. But, you know, I also think, too, leaning towards a more natural diet is, you know, is important. And I do think that, and we do know, you know, that there are so many medicinal qualities to our herbs, our food, you know, especially when they're cultivated correctly, you know. And so there just are health benefits to these things, but the level to which they'll be helpful, there in many cases is not sufficient evidence to make, you know, curative claims exact, you know,
so,
in that way.
So basically you and Julius on the same page in terms of, is this something Julius had said when we first started? Always read what you're getting yourself into.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, even so, I would worry less, though, in terms of, like, so, for example, one of the ways I use turmeric is not a supplement, mm-hmm. right? I just buy turmeric roots. And actually, I learned this is, I didn't realize this is like an, I think it was an Indonesian.
It is. I just read that. They said in addition to curries, turmeric can be found in most Indian dishes. Indonesian, Moroccan, and Thai cuisine are also heavy in turmeric. So you pretty much validating what I'm reading here on the cuff. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I kind of created because I was feeling like a little sick, I'm like, I don't know, I think, you know, this might be a good concoction. And then I read the concoction. I'm like, oh, wow, apparently this has been like a known thing for like an ancient, you know, cure or whatever. Not that it is, but, you know, the doctor's point, like there's probably no evidence, but there's a lot of, we understand these foods enough to think that maybe that this would be like a good mix. And what it is I basically boil water. I cut up chunks of ginger. I cut up chunks of turmeric. I add peppercorn because that allows the turmeric to become more bioavailable in your body. And I just boil this tea, and then I strain it, and then I'll drink it even. I might even put seltzer with it, like a cold tea. And it's just like you could put lemon in it. Indonesians put lemon in it, I think. And sometimes they blend it, so you get all that fiber. It's really interesting.
No, so hold on a second. I'm listening to what you're telling me, and I know Julia's listening attentively. Is there this experimentation dynamic involved here with what we consume and when we're paying attention to what we consume, Julius, based on what you just heard from Holly?
Yeah, all the time. That's how we learn how things work, by experimenting. We just mix things together and try it and be like, ooh, this is good, this is not good. So, yeah, definitely. There's always experimenting. I'm sure a few years from now, we're going to find something new about another root or food or, you know, like how Sawasapno, you know, cures cancer. So I'm sure that there's different things that we'll find out about different foods as we keep living.
No, that's awesome. Holly, did you find this to be somewhat experimental as you're going on and you're putting in all these little ingredients and the next thing you know, it's tasting good and you're feeling nice and you're reading now, you're researching and you're realizing, well, maybe this, there's some benefit to this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew when I was experimenting that there was benefit to it, but I didn't know that the particular concoction had already been, you know, established in ancient of time.
You were going back thousands of years and didn't even know it, right?
Wow.
By the way, my advisor that I reach out to over the last couple of editions, her name is Dr. Tai Honsiza. Julius, I don't know if you know her. You know Dr. Caesar over there, right?
Yeah, and she's a medical
director, and she was listening to the show one day, and she had commended one of you educating from an educational perspective, and she's our medical director, Holly. Here in the Virgin Islands for the government. So it's awesome that I could reach out to her. So when you educated me with this word, right? And by the way, for the audience, it's my understanding based on the way you're pronouncing it now, Holly, help me out, that the first R is silent. Right? Because it's spelled T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C. Right? You say turmeric. That's how you say it? Holly?
I mean, it's possible.
No, it's okay. You're not in class. You're good. You can talk to me.
I feel like I'm being quizzed.
No. I try my best because I don't want to butcher. I don't want to butcher the word, and then I don't want the audience to go out there, and then you know what I'm saying. But I don't hear that first
R. Oh, that's right. I did spell it wrong, which is not unlike me. I never say that R. That's true.
That's why I asked. That's it. Right. Julius, right or wrong? Right or wrong? Help me out here. Right? It don't sound like the first R, right? That Bronx R. That first R ain't in it, right? It's turmeric. You know what I'm saying? So because when you said it, I was looking for it. And I said, wait a minute. The way they spell it, they got the first R in it. I ain't hearing the R.
Yeah, spelling has never been my strength.
No. Pronunciation, though. Pronunciation. So it's all good. I want to thank y'all for educating me and my audience this morning. Now I'm going to do some research because you mentioned, right, I don't think we've ever had a deep conversation about herbs, right? So maybe we could look into that for the next edition in May, right? And let me do some more research because, you know, a lot of people are big on that, big on it. They don't want anything to do, you know, with the typical American diet. You know, they believe in their herbs and all that stuff. So maybe we could break that down. And then, Julius, you could tell us how you incorporate that into your mix. And you already, you know, You already just set us off with this lobster thing that you just talked about. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's crazy. Now that's what I want right now.
It worked, you know. It worked. I also see that they got turmeric in scrambled eggs. I saw that. You know, yeah, when I was looking
it
up.
They're going to put it in whatever. If it becomes the next fad, it's going to be in everything. And then everybody's fingers, by the way, are going to be orange.
By the way, Holly, if you live in the islands, curry chicken, curry everything, that's big in the islands. Big. You know what I'm saying? That yellowish look, that powdery look, and you got to knock it down, you know what I'm saying? You need that, and then you're mixing it up with the rice and the potatoes and all that stuff. You know, we could go there in a hurry, Julius, right? We don't play around here in the Virgin Islands when it comes to cooking food. That's our thing, right? So I want to thank both of you. Wait, you say what?
The curry, seeing everything too.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You're seeing it. You know, I want to thank both of you for making some time. Nourish to flourish to educate this morning because I really appreciate that. And Julius, you missed out. We were talking about junk food in the first segment, right? It was just strictly junk food, hot dog, pizza, all that stuff. You know what I mean? So at some point we'll do that again. Thanks to both of you. Great edition of Nourish to Flourish, the April 2024 edition here on Analyze This. My good friend Julius Jackson from Out of the Rock, the trainer, chef, Dr. Chef. And we got the dietitian out of Raleigh, originally from Manhattan, right?
Yep.
Midtown.
Hell's Kitchen.
Holly Goroff. We call her Holly Louise and all that good stuff. Thanks to both of you. Great, great show this morning. Looking forward to talking with you next month. All right.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Enjoy. Appreciate that. Yeah. Hey, Julius, I want you to knock up some scrambled egg for me with some melted cheese and onions and all that stuff, though. I want one of those. If you're still there. You got it already? Okay, yeah. So at some point, you're going to knock that up. You know? That's dice up the onion, them. You know what I mean? Put in scrambled eggs with some cheese. We didn't even need no bread. Even though I used to be a bread kind of, so we didn't even need that. You knock up that scrambled eggs, good. And we good to go. So, April edition of Nourish to Flourish is in the books. Every time I think of Nourish to Flourish, I gotta give a shout out to Zoe Zimmet, who made this vision, this idea a reality. I'm looking forward to talking with Zoe sometime down the road. Be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Ah, sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the Territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.